Welcome to Tales of an Outdoor Writer. I'm Mark Freeman, outdoor writer for the Mail Tribune newspaper in Medford, Oregon. And this podcast looks at the stories behind the stories that we find while putting together the Oregon Outdoors section for Friday's Mail Tribune newspaper and at mailtribune.com. Here, as always, we're at $4 Irish Pub in Medford. Got Jamie Lush, Mail Tribune photographer and videographer extraordinaire. Now, we spend a lot of time on the water, mainly our home waters of the Rogue River. And for years, I've been telling Jamie, you know, we got to take my boat, not taking your boat. That way you can sit up front and shoot pictures, shoot video, and just kind of do your thing, and I'll just row. But truth is, it's because your boat sucks, man.
He's been making fun of my boat for years.
Well, it's easy to make fun of that boat. It's ancient. It's old. It rolls like a tub.
There's just as much blood in my boat as there is yours.
Yeah, but we still always take mine. It's interesting, though. Even though we give each other a lot of crap about our boats really are from the same gene pool, built by the same guy, just several generations apart. And in a way, this helps really tell the story of how the aluminum drift boat came to be. So for those of you not from around here, drift boats are a certain kind of boat built to row in fast whitewater. They have a high bow, low transom, a flat bottom, and steep curves on the side. They rowed like tubs, almost as bad as your boat. And they had a lot of upkeep. You had to polish them and seal them all the time, and they were pretty easy to sink. But that all changed in 1970 when Willie Illingworth, a Rogue River fishing guide, thought aluminum would be a better boat. So he asked Glenn Woolridge, who was the big shot boat builder at the time in Grants Pass, to build one, and Glenn refused. So Willie decided to build one himself. Now, he had no money, no welder, no welding experience, and he only had one hand. He blew his left hand off in an accident with a blasting cap when he was a little kid. But Willie was a really charming guy, and he convinced an Ashland mill owner named Jim Parsons to load him $4,000, enough to build his first six boats. It took him 3 months to cut and weld the first one. He took it to the Rogue and he launched it. I remember Willie telling me the story that as he was putting that boat in, he knew the time for aluminum boats was ready. And after three strokes in that, it was just so perfect. He knew it, he said it was past due. So he started building those boats. He could crank out about one a week. He sold them $500. Can you believe that? Basically, there are two models. There was this generic weekender that was built, you know, like the regular ones now, but instead of the gunwale on those, was just a bent pipe. And he built a guide's model, which was all aluminum also, but it had aluminum gunwale with spacers in it that looked just like the wooden ones on a wooden boat. I remember he told me he used to build them that way, not because he wanted to, because it was just a real pain in the butt to do that, but at the time, everybody really wanted them to look like wood boats. So Willie kept the first, Parsons bought the second, and he cranked them out for a while on his own. Boat number 19 went to a cinematographer named Art Dubes, and he had compartments in it to store camera gear. And that boat now, the president of Willie Boats, Jim Biddle, found that boat and got it back and got it restored, and it's now in their showroom on Highway 62. So Willie founded AlumaWeld in 1972, and then you got your hands on a 74 model, right?
Yeah, it's pretty old boat. When I was 18 years old, between semesters in college, I was a smallmouth bass guide. I worked for Todd Hanna, the Oregon angler on the Umpqua River. And I didn't have a boat, I didn't have any gear, didn't have really anything at the time, but he wanted me to go work for him, so he allowed me to work off my boat, didn't pay me for about a month and a half. I think I worked off about $1,700 or so. That's what he charged me for the boat, my 1974 Rogue River Special. So it's coming up on its 20-year anniversary now for me.
Cool. So 20 years of tubbing. So Willie sold AlumaWeld in 1977, and he opened something called a Willie R&D. He had a non-competitive clause, so he was, instead of making drift boats, he was making raft frames and camp kitchens. And 1981, that non-competitive clause expired, so he opened up what's now Willie Boats. and started making drift boats again. You know, I started this job at the Mail Tribune in 1989, and in like March 91, I met with Willie. I said, I got to get a boat. So we go to the Mexicali Rose Bar, which is down the street here. I used to drink these chilled tequila shots all the time, and that place was weird. They had an icy machine that was full of margaritas. So we're sitting at the bar hashing out what's going to be in my boat, and he takes the order on a bar napkin, which I guess was pretty common for him. And I remember we were doing it, we were kind of adding stuff up, and it came down, and it's like, all right, what kind of paint do you want? What color's paint do you want? I'm like, I don't want any paint, because, you know, I've been living in Coos Bay, and the only people that paint on their drift boats are those guys from Medford. And you'd see them on the Elk River and places, like, those guys from Medford, because they paint. Just too nice. And when I said that, he picked up my napkin, the napkin with everything written on, and took out a cigarette lighter and torched the thing right on the bar. And all these people in there, and they didn't, like, bat an eye. It's like he's burnt up orders in that bar, like, all the time. And I remember getting it. I got it May 25th, 1991. Not like I keep track or anything. Took it right to the river. Went fishing with Otis Swisher that day. Floated to Kelman to Dodge. First time in my boat. Awesome.
I didn't realize Otis was your first.
First guy. Cool. It was a Tuesday, too. It was awesome. Now, we're talking about how there, you know, there's a lot of differences. Even though our boats are built by the same guy, mine was built during the Willie Boats time. There's a lot of differences between then and now, when your boat was made and when my boat was made. For instance, your floor was 48 inches wide, and mine's 54. That allows the sides to be lower. So when you row my boat, your hands are lower, so you get more power. It also has a different kind of gunwale. It's called a unirail. It's a single bent piece to hold the boat together. Willie patented that thing, and he spent like $30,000 to get that patent. And it was kind of a pointless thing to do, but he did it just because he got sick and tired of all the other boat manufacturers from stealing his stuff. Yeah, you know, one of the other cool things is that the old timers will tell you that, you know, every boat, you know, has a signature by the actual guy who welded the boat. Now, Willie designed my boat, but he didn't build mine. His son built it. And they could tell, because they all look at each other's welds, and they know each other's welds, and they can tell whose weld is whose.
Well, a lot of the welds in my boat are broken at this point, but like I said, it's 1974. It's pretty old.
It doesn't leak, though, does it?
No, it doesn't leak. Still floats.
Awesome. So it floats like a tub.
So, Mark, what'd you pay for your drift boat in 1991 or whatever it was?
You know, I'm not exactly sure, but I think it was $2,800 on the trailer.
Nice. They're quite a bit more expensive than that now.
I can easily sell it if I wanted to for $6,000 or $7,000, but there is no way I remember selling my boat.
Yeah, like I said, I worked my drift boat off for, I think it was $1,700, just didn't get paid for a month or a month and a half or whatever it was, and I'm pretty sure I could get $2,500 for it right now, so it's gone up in value over 20 years of pretty significant use. Pretty cool deal.
Well, I know I'd never sell mine. You know, my kids used to always tease me. My son, Ben, tax deduction number one, used to always say, you know, my dad loves his drift boat more than me. I always tell him, don't forget about the smoker too, son. So we spent a lot of time in that drift boat of mine. It's really how this stuff really does come together. See, we don't just go with fishing guides and stuff. You know, we don't script this stuff out. We look for real people to tell these real stories on the river. So what we typically do is, like, we'll have an idea for a story, like it's a really good early run of summer steelhead, or it's a really crappy spring Chinook year. And I get Dad and all that stuff to support it. And then we just go out and look for real people to tell that story. Real people doing the thing that we want to write that piece about. We just jump these guys in a river, and luckily most people know who we are, so they don't get too freaked out. And we get to goof off at the time, so that's how drift boats help us tell our stories in the Oregon outdoors that you see in the Mail Tribune and mailtribune.com. Who knows, maybe one day we'll find you in the river, jump you on the road with a drift boat, and help you tell a story. Yeah, you know, and it's pretty appropriate that we're doing that story today, because yesterday, a matter of fact, March 27th was the 11th anniversary of Willie's death. He died of cancer, and he threw a great wake, a posthumous wake. Had a whole bunch of us there, and it was just passed out tequila for everybody. And Willie got cremated, and he put his ashes, had his ashes put in these little containers, and we all got ashes. We all have ashes to take Willie fishing with us.
That's a party I liked. Would like to have been.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah. He was a pretty colorful guy. So there you have it. If you like our podcast, share it with your friends. If you don't, share it with your enemies. Either way, come down to Fort Otters, buy us a beer. If not, we'll see you somewhere outside. Thanks.